Blog Talk Radio.
All hail the street queens and all that we stand for, man. Introducing the street queens. Let's go.
Girl, Lushy Lush live in the building, man, and Lush Radio Online presents Street Queens, the movement, Battered Women, Episode 1, featuring a special guest, Queen Pen, along with Lady X. We're talking about battered women, why they stay, the situations, the warning signs, and it's going down with the Street Queens. They got the view, we got the panel, it's going down in 09, man. Happy New Year to all y'all people doing y'all 1-2, man. This whole show is provided and sponsored by Underground Girls in Hip Hop, TrunkHustlers.com, Mix Show Blast, Operation We Care, Street Queens The Movement, Exclusive Fashion and First is going down right here on Lush Radio Online. Street Queens presents Battered Women, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm about to go to my phone. Lines, man. Peace, Queen.
Peace,
Queen.
Hey, what's going on, Lush? This is girl Miss Toy on the check-in. How are you?
What's up? Peace, Queen.
Peace, what's up, everybody? It's your girl, Miss Felicia Sabree, in the building.
Peace, Queen. Peace. Got your girl. We got your girl, Miss Toy, Felicia, and Miss E2K Magazine right there.
Yeah. Grizzly.
On the check-in and then check-out and then check-out.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Peace, Queen. Peace, Queen.
Queen, Queen, Queen. How's everybody doing? 2009 in the house.
We're all on time. I'm so proud.
It's 09.
Yeah, we got to stay on top of us, girl.
It's 09, man. Street Queens, the movement is taking no prisoners, man. We going hard body right here. Failure is not an option to us right now.
Not at all.
Okay. We in here doing 1-2, Shannon, you're going to have your special guest going down. Queen Pen in the building, shutting it down, and we're going to have your special guest, Lady X, that will be talking to us about, you know, her different experiences in regards to, you know, going through an abused relationship along with the Street Queens also doing their 1-2 in the building, like I said, and anybody that wants to call in anonymous, and you know, we're not going to pry and ask your name or nothing like that. Share your experience with us.
Experience. Who is building something over there?
Oh, somebody knocking on the door. Apparently, I don't know what's going on with that.
That's not a cool knocker there.
That sounds like the feds, don't it?
That sounds like a domestic violence knock there.
Uh-oh.
That sounds like a domestic knock, man.
I'll come back later.
But I'm going to go back to the lines again. Like I said, this has been provided by Underground Girls in Hip Hop, Trunk Hustlers, Street Queens The Movement, Operation We Care, Mix Show Blast, and all the people that we associate and support our movement, we support them. Like I said, man, make sure that you respect all the street queens on the movement and everybody on the panel. Make sure you respect all of our callers that call in. The quote of the night is, courtships are never entirely real. It's always phony because you only see what your partner wants you to see. Living in someone's life, a lot different from visiting. Different than visiting.
So true.
Like I said, tonight's topic, and that quote actually was by Javita herself. You know what I'm saying? So she was throwing a 1-2. Tonight is about battered women and abused women. Call in number 347-827-22. You know, people can participate. 15 minutes, we go to the lines, you know, and we go and talk to you. Make sure you, if you have any unquestioned comments, go to lustradiothemovement.ning.com. You know, make sure you archive our show, www.blogtalkradio.com/lustradiothemovement. Make sure you go to our blog spot, streetqueensthemovementblogspot.com, or email us at streetqueensthemovement@gmail.com. Any donations or anything like that that you want to give to the Street Queens or letters, Street Queens Official P.O. Box, P.O. 30126, Capitol Heights, Maryland, 20731. Like I said, no exceptions. Any profanity used, you will be bumped off the line, okay? Like I said, I got my girl Javita live in the building. Peace, Queen. Javita? Javita, can you hear me?
She probably got off. Was she on already?
Yeah, she was on. I'm trying to, this is Javita, Peace Queen.
Peace, can you hear me?
Oh. Yes.
What's up? What's up, player?
Yes.
I'm good.
That's what it is, man. We got the army ready, man, and we ready for war, man. We can jump into the topics right now, man. The first one is, how often is a woman beaten in the country? Go ahead and take that, Javita.
Well, in the United States, every 9 seconds, a woman is physically abused by her husband. Now, you also have to keep in mind that only half of women report abuse. So when you're really looking at it, it's really, 18 women every 9 seconds being physically abused. Within the last year, 7% of American women, that's 3.9 million, who were all married or living with someone were physically abused. And 37%, that's 20.7 million, were verbally or emotionally abused by their spouse or partner. Now, two kids are two-thirds of attacks, on women are common by someone the victim knows, often a husband or a boyfriend. So, you know, it's very important to look out for those signs and being able to recognize that. I know the level of injury resulting from domestic violence is service of 218 women presenting at a Metropolitan Emergency Department with injuries due to domestic violence. That's 28% require admission to the hospital, 13% require major treatment, and 14% have previously required medical care for abuse. Now, 42% of murdered women are killed by their immediate male partner. 4,000 women are killed each year because of domestic violence. So that's a large number. The FBI also estimates that a woman is raped every 6 minutes in the United States. Rape victims range from 4 months to 92. And we actually had a case here in the state of Georgia where there was a woman who was raped at 92 years old, and that was very sad. And 40% of all rape occurs in the victim's home. So it's very important to know who you're bringing into your environment and always protecting yourself. An estimated 70% of men who abuse their female partners also abuse their children. In the homes where spouses' abuse occurs, children are abused at a rate of, get this, everybody, 15,000% higher than the national average. And the reason they like to beat the kids young and stuff like that is because they grow up to be submissive and to accept that type of behavior, and that leads to more women being abused. So, you know, break that cycle and don't stay in an abusive relationship. Still, this type of offense against women is severe. It declined about half between 1993 to 1.1 million non-fatal cases. In 2001, that was 588,490. from 9.8 to 5 per thousand women. Intimate partner violence against men also declined from 162,000 to 870% in 1993. Now, when you talk about the number of women being abused, the number of gay men in domestic violence relationships, they have an actual higher average of being abused than women do. So it's very important for them to get help as well. And there's also a gay men's domestic violence project, and that number, if you need any help, is 800-832-1901. And because they're
Can you repeat that?
That's 800-832-1901. And that's the Gay Men's Domestic Violence Project. And you can also get further information from www.gmdvp.org.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is unreal.
Definitely that is unreal.
And Gay Men's Domestic Violence.
Mm-hmm. And I actually have to give it up to Rhode Island. Rhode Island actually enforced a new policy to teach teens and making it mandatory that they have to learn in high school the signs to look for and steps and precautions to take in order to prevent domestic violence and an attempt to break that chain. Because like I said, kids are beaten at an average of 15,000% higher than the national average of women, gays, period. So it's extremely important to do that. So big ups to Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and Texas. The rest of the states, we need to get in line.
We need to catch up, that's right.
Yeah, we need to catch up.
It makes you feel like, you know, you may work with somebody every day, you know, and they could be in an abusive relationship and you don't even know. You know, people you see every day around you.
Exactly.
Some people don't even recognize that it's abuse, like that they'll be in a relationship and it's like, oh, you know, he was just angry or, oh, you know, he just had a bad day. And they really don't recognize. It's like they're in denial that they're in an abuse relationship. So
they're ashamed to admit it. Oh, they're ashamed.
They're brainwashed.
Yeah. There's a lot of independent women, we call ourselves strong and all that, that are abused, but we get so ashamed. Like, how could that happen to me? I'm independent. I do this. I do that. But that doesn't, you know, it could happen to anyone.
Exactly. And that's every 9 seconds. So, you know, that's a lot for a woman to be abused every 9 seconds. You've got women being abused. So it's extremely important for us to definitely break that chain of violence and hate. And if you're in an abusive relationship, especially whether it's physical, emotional, it's important and imperative that you hurry up and get out of that situation, because you don't want your sons and your daughters thinking that that is okay behavior. And that's what happens. It psychologically brainwashes them to be the next abusers and victims in the world. So like I said, big ups to Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and Texas for doing what they do, and the rest of us need to get in line. And if we don't have policies and things like that where it's mandatory in your state, definitely advocate to push for that, to make that a mandatory requirement for middle schools and high school students.
That's what's up, man. And on that note, Jarvita, and ladies, just to let you know, we have another special guest. Queen Pen is going to call in a few, but I have Persia from My White Rapper, who's facing charges for protecting herself, you know, from abuser. So she's on the line. So we're about to go to the line, ladies. Okay?
Wow. Uh-huh.
Hello, Persia?
Hello? Hey.
Persia. Hey, Persia, what's up?
Good. How you doing?
What's going on?
Hey,
what's
welcome.
On? Welcome, Persia.
Thank you.
On the line with all the street queens, you know, we got, you know, my girl Toy, we got Felicia Sabree, you know, Miss Jarvita, E2K Magazine, you know what I'm saying, you know, Lissette, you know, and we down with the movement, and, you know, shout out to my girl CG, and, you know, we support you, man. I mean, you know, right now, you know, tell the world what you're facing right now in regards to your situation.
Well, I'm facing 3.5 years on a gun charge, basically for, like, trying to protect myself, because I felt like the cops wasn't doing it, and I didn't have no other choice.
Really?
Yeah, the cops basically told me, like, we can't do nothing to him unless he physically hurts you. So what do? Just stand there and wait to get beat up?
No. What type of situation were you in?
That plus my ex-boyfriend allegedly is a police informant, and I've seen him get out of situations and just walk away with a gun in the car. So I know that. Like it's double for me. Like the normal person could call and they'll take the boyfriend away. The boyfriend will get out the next day. Mine, I walk up the block and he'd be on the next block in like 5 minutes. So I really was left with nothing to do but protect myself. And, like, he threatened to set my mother's house on fire when she was asleep. So what that does to you is that turns you, at one point you feel like a victim and you're hiding and you're running, but then somebody pushes the wrong button and you get tired of hiding and you start looking for the person because it's hard to get at, to have to park your car 10 blocks away and walk slowly and look at every single person. And when the elevator door opens, you got to take a deep breath because somebody might jump out and you can't live like that and the cops just don't protect you.
Do you have any witnesses, any friends that witnessed this type of stuff, Persian?
What'd you say?
Do you have any friends that witnessed some of the abuse? Like, you know, do you have any friends that confided in?
I left my house and I let my cousin stay there with her boyfriend. He would come there every day harassing. If I find her, I'm going to kill her. He beat up my cousin's boyfriend. The police came one time because I was arguing and my mother was on the phone and she called the cops and she was like, please, he's going to kill my daughter. And when the cops came, they saw the house and they saw the situation and they asked if I was all right and I was like, no. But he made a call. He put a detective on the phone and they said, have a nice night. And they left.
Wow.
He's an informant. They're going to protect him.
Is this the NYPD we're talking about? What police? NYPD.
Wow.
Yeah. They protect their informants. They definitely protect the informants.
Everybody knows what's going on.
I have a question. This is Ms. Toy. I'm in Boston, Mass. I'm curious to know, like, how long did this go on before you felt like there was absolutely nothing else that you could do to protect, you know, to get yourself away from this man or protect yourself? How long did it go on?
Well, I dated him, to be honest with you, for months. A week in, I knew something was wrong and I had to get away. After a month of dating, it took 2 months for me to, like, gradually break up with him because I was waiting for him to give me a reason. He stalked me for about 6-7 months after that.
Uh-uh.
And he stalked everybody
he was
I knew.
Huh?
What?
Obsessive.
Yeah, he was crazy. He would go from, I miss you, please take me back, to, I'm going to kill you. If I see you on the street, I'm going to kill you. He was like, don't worry, your career won't ever pop because you're going to be dead and you the next dead rapper. And just, like, crazy. Like, I don't care about nothing. And I seen him be abusive to his ex-girlfriend. So I knew, like, you know how, like, sometimes somebody threaten you and you be like, yeah, all right, whatever. But sooner or later, you like, wait, you know what? I seen a girl get shot at her wedding by her ex-boyfriend. So let me believe every single word he says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I feel like you can't take anything lightly when a man threatens, like, serious physical harm. You can't take it lightly because a lot of these men, when they don't have nothing to lose, they want to take all their anger and their frustration right out on you, like,
that's
as if you're their problem. And
yeah,
with you
he
being in
nothing
the position,
to lose.
Yeah. Like, you
so
being in the position you were in, and you being on a show and, you know, making moves in your career, it's like he's probably threatened by that because it's like, okay, she's about to blow up.
Because he would constantly say, oh, don't worry, you be good, you got your show popping. And when I really broke up with him, I left the house and I said, I'm not coming back, so you need to leave. He called me in an hour and he was like, well, you need to come look at your house. He ransacked the whole house. He went to the store.
God.
He bought pig's blood, poured blood on everything, ice cream, soda. He took all my clothes, ripped them up, poured blood on them. He kicked in the TVs.
God.
He took all, like, my personal items, like my family photos. He put them in the bathtub and set them on fire.
God.
And the cops didn't do nothing?
I'm sorry.
Well, I'd like to say something on that.
Go ahead, Javita.
When it comes to abuse and abusive relationships, that's where you make the mistake. Instead, you do not tell them you are leaving. You simply get your things and you leave. even if while he's gone at work or somewhere else, you either leave while a thief in the night, but you do not tell the abuser that you are leaving.
Yeah, she kind of right, because, I mean, I've been in the situation, too. It's like, as soon as you let up that red flag, then they want to just destroy you and everything you ever had and ever would be.
But,
like, you just go nuts.
But you know what? It was a month. You should have just walked away, not even waited similarly. Like, we do that mistake as women. You know, we never want to hurt. We want to, you know, we're the nurturers, so we worry about everybody else's feelings. We have to learn to worry about our own feelings. This is Emma, E2K, by the way. And that'd be our problem, that we worry about, oh, my God, he might get upset, or he might take this the wrong way, or, you know, he's going to be hurt from it. What about us?
Well, you
we
got to
protect that. And I was worried about, like, his well-being. Well, I don't want him to kill himself. But then in
right.
return, it was like my life was being threatened because I was worried about how you was going to feel.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we're going to talk about later on, you know, in the show, the battered women syndrome, and the way that as women or as the person that's being abused, we try to protect the other person because we feel like they have a problem inside of themselves mentally, or maybe they had a bad background, or they don't have nobody in their life. And we're really like trying to protect their feelings when really they're really out to hurt us because they take their anger out on us, you know?
This is Lush right here, man. Like I said, Street Queens, man, we you know what I'm saying, we support you, man, because no woman should ever have to go through that, and no woman should ever have a man put their hand on them, never should have to put their hand on them at all. I don't care what it is. You understand what I'm saying? And we rock with you. So what is the situation now? What are the courts saying, you know what I'm saying, in regards to the whole situation? Because I know you got like a pro bono, you know what I'm saying? And, like, I don't know if you're doing a petition or, you know, let us know.
Well, basically, what it was the only reason my court date was postponed is because there was a snowstorm. So that bought me some time. But I don't have a new lawyer, and I'm stuck with the same lawyer who did me dirty, basically, who pretty much sold me out and lied to me. So I'm trying to figure out, like, what the next step is. I had people sending letters into the DA. But, like, I really don't know if that's going to make a difference, because they could just look at that and be like, whatever, you had a gun, you're going to jail.
Do whatever you got to do. Do whatever you got to do. If you need a petition, if you need support, you need to show these people that you're serious about this situation right
proof.
Here. And if you have, this is Lissette speaking, streetsonline.com. You need to basically get all the reports together, any witnesses, statements, get that stuff notarized. You got to get everything in your grasp. Because what's going to happen is it's like, oh, police officers. It's like Mayor Giuliani. He protects police officers no matter what.
Right.
So you go, do whatever you got to do to have that proof in your hand. Because you know the court system, if you ain't got no proof, it don't matter.
Right.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? So.
And the good thing that he's not a cop, he's a snitch. So if you make enough noise, they're going to be like, hell this, you ain't worth us. You know what I'm saying? You ain't giving us that much for us to defend you like that. And they're going to give them up. But you got to put fire under their ass.
Yeah.
You just got to make a lot of noise. You got to make a lot of noise, Persia.
Yeah, get
your
phone records. If he be stalking you on the telephone, you pull those damn records. Show them everything. Show them the abuse. And just let them know either he was going to kill me or I had to protect myself.
Right, yeah, they sent their letters to my lawyer. Like, he broke into my emails and he found out who won the White Rapper show. He contacted VH1 and was trying to bribe them for money not to release who the winner was. Like, he was really out of his mind.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
Can
VH1
verify that?
Look here.
Wow.
Because
can they verify that?
This dude is a problem, and he really needs to be put on blast. Because truthfully, he needs to be put on blast because people, you know, him and all the guys like him that run around here torturing women's lives that are trying to, you know, move forward and be successful, it can't go on. Like, stuff like this really has to stop. And I think that's why we as Street Queens can come together and touch on these subjects, because they're nice and quietly swept under the rug. Persia, you're going to go through your situation and life is going to keep on. But at the end of the day, if these people are not put on blast, then it's just going to be a cycle that continues, and it's unfair to you. It's unfair to every woman that has to go through this.
Excuse me, I hate to cut you off, but I do also have on the line my expert, Lady X, to give you some advice. Lady X?
Hello.
Welcome, Lady X.
Welcome, welcome.
Welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here with you tonight, ladies.
It's a pleasure to have you, Lady X.
The young lady that was talking, you said that your attorney did you wrong. He has an oath of office that he is supposed to honor in his relationship with you, and above all, he is not to do any harm. And so you have the right to contact the Bar Association with regards to his actions that were inappropriate and to seek disbarment as well as to seek compensation for those damages. I do think there is an organization that would help you, but I can't think of the name of it now. But contact the American Civil Liberties Union, known as the ACLU, and see if they would handle a case such as this or if they have knowledge of organizations that could assist you. They will give you some information in order to help you fight your case. And
okay.
If the American Civil Liberties Union were to take your case, they wouldn't charge you a fee for that. There may be something for you at the U.S. Justice Department, though.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Is Lady X, you still
yes.
there? Okay.
Yes.
So like I said, man, Lady X, for everybody listening, man, we have an expert on the line, and we are live with Persia from My White Rapper from VH1, you know, and if you want to talk to Lady X about, you know, different situations from her expertise, call in at 347-826-7722. So go ahead, continue, Lady X, on the advice you were giving Persia in regards to her situation.
I was not on at the beginning of the show, so I missed some information in terms of her talking, but I did get on time enough to hear her saying that her attorney didn't do her right. Now, all the information up above that I didn't get, so I can't respond to that.
Persia, could you just give her a rough sum of what your situation was and what you're facing right now?
Well, I'm facing 3.5 years for attempted possession of a firearm. But what basically happened was my lawyer told me I was getting 7 months in shock, which is basically boot camp. So he told me, if you don't do that, you're going to end up doing 4 to 15. So last minute, I'm 6 months pregnant, and I was in tears, and I was like, well, if that's the best they can do, that's the best they can do, and I'll take it. Like, I'll take the 7 months. And when it came time for sentencing, he just blatantly told me, I never said that, and you're doing 3.5 years.
The law says we have the right to bear arms, so why do you have to be time to have a gun?
Exactly.
That's
for
law.
Protection from physical abuse.
Because you're supposed to, that's why you have the right to bear arms. To protect.
Are you pregnant from him? From
no,
the,
oh, no.
Oh, okay.
That was like 3 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah,
because
I would have been a whole something else. Okay,
yeah,
all right.
So that would have been.
Evidence that he harmed you? Is there any evidence that he harmed you?
And he destroyed her property. He went into her home.
Yeah.
She wants to know if there's any evidence that he harmed you.
The 911 call when the cops came. Just pretty much like affidavits from people, because so many people knew he went to all my friends' houses looking for me.
What about photos? Any photos? Any photos of any injuries that he's done?
Records of.
He didn't physically. Only time he ever put his hands on me, he choked me, and there were no marks. But other than that, it was more so the threats. The threats were always there.
Yeah.
And I was hiding for so long that I never put myself in that predicament to bump into him. And the day that I did, I stood there, and I really didn't know what to do. And he was just crying, oh, I love you, I love you. And then you're standing there, and you're just, like, waiting for it. And I was like, well, let me go into the store. And I begged the guy in the store to let me leave out the back door.
Wow.
Real quick, I'm sorry to interrupt Lady X, you know, because you're an expert, but I don't know what's going on. But if you, because it's like it's coming out like it's sounding a little bit low. And I want everybody to hear the expertise that you have in regards to, you know, because she has a lot of expertise. She's counseled women that have been battered. Women that have felt like, you know, a man loves them because they beat on them, you know. So she has a lot of experience with that, and I want everybody to get that information. So I don't know what, because it sounds low, Lady X.
Yeah, she is low. Can you call back in?
I don't. Well, maybe I just need to talk louder.
Yeah.
Can you hear that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can hear. Yeah, it's a little better now.
Okay, in terms of who I am clinically, I am a former licensed marriage and family therapist and licensed professional counselor. I have worked with victims. My specialty was working with victims of sexual assault and violence against women. I am also a victim of violence in my marriage, in both of my marriages. And in the first marriage, I did shoot my husband.
Wow.
I did not kill him, but I did shoot him.
Wow.
I wanted to shoot the second one, but I didn't shoot him.
Wow.
Oh, Lady X is gangster here.
She's a gangster, but Lady X loves herself.
Okay.
Hello. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Want to mistreat me.
And that's right.
At the time that I shot my ex-husband, I too was pregnant.
Mm.
Wow.
2 months pregnant. And I had a skull fracture from this fall.
Oh, my goodness.
So there was medical evidence that there was abuse and that it was self-defense. And that was why I was asking her the questions that I was asking in terms of she has to have something that establishes her self-defense, her sense of self-defense, that I was asking to protect myself in fear of my own life. And if he has been threatening her in the presence of her friends, and there are others with knowledge of the threats of harm, then there may be some help there in terms of a self-defense that he put her in that position by the constant threat.
Isn't stalking against the law as well? Even if you don't touch them, if you stalk somebody.
Harassment. Did you get a restraining order, Pleasure?
What is that?
Did you get a restraining order? He was
No, I didn't think it would do any good because he was an informant, but now I know that I have to go get one. But he's right now he's serving, I don't know how long he's serving, for like 8 bank robberies.
Wow. Oh, he's incarcerated.
But yeah, but I can guarantee he'll be out real soon. I already know that.
What about pictures of the damage, your property?
Look, ladies, sorry to interrupt, but we do have Queen Pen, and she only can stay for certain amount of time, so she is on the line. And then we're going to go back to Lady X and Persia real quick, and then we're going to go back to the rest of the topics. Hold real quick. Peace, Queen.
Peace, how you doing?
How you doing?
Hey,
I know.
Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
I'm okay. I had, I had to have another surgery on my mouth this Tuesday from the incident that happened with my children's father. So I have a lot of stitches in my mouth. So that's why it may sound like I'm slurring a little bit, or you know, my voice may sound or talking maybe hard. Maybe hard to understand some of the words that I'm saying.
Oh, man.
Just to let you know.
We appreciate the effort.
Yes, we do.
No
we appreciate
problem.
You calling in.
So, what did I miss?
well, basically, Queen, like I said, we got Persia and we got an expert, Lady X, who also was in the same situation like Persia, in that she had to shoot her. Her significant other due to the fact of abuse, and she had a crushed skull, and she also has been a counselor to women who have been battered, you know, in regards to that situation, you know, so she was on there, and like I said, people that's listening right now, this subject is called Battered Women, Episode 1, and it is a deal. Women are dying, people are getting abused, children are getting abused. And if you have anything to talk about, call me at 347-826-7722. We are live with Queen Pen and Persia and Lady X live in the building. Queen, you know, yes. Your whole situation and what was your warning signs? Besides, you know, the situation now, but what led you, you know, to know that your abuser, you know, was abusive?
I think for me, like a lot of African-American, Latino women in the community, it's never known to us. My cycle started as a young, you know, as a young girl. I think the first time that a man hit me, I must have been about 16 years old. And what happens is, in our neighborhoods, it's not looked at as domestic violence. it's just one of them things, another situation where we just handle it, where we just know mm-hmm. just to handle stuff in the hood. We take it, we eat it up, and we handle it. So it took me probably till about from age 16 to about age 30 to finally realize that it wasn't right, you know. And I think that also comes from, you know, I never had that first, like my father wasn't there. So I never knew what it was to feel to see a man loving a woman properly because my dad wasn't there. I was young, right. You know, so mm-hmm. I never knew what was right from wrong. So at 16, when the opposite sex hits you, you know, and then says, oh, I'm so sorry, and you know, start playing that pity party card on you, you think that that's normal because you never saw normal.
Right.
So to me, it ended up being a cycle and a cycle and a cycle. And I think the majority of the relationships that I was in was abusive because once a man hit you one time, that's abusive. You
and
know,
it doesn't always hit you.
Right. It's not right. If a man hits you, if a woman says, well, he only hit me four times, it's not right for a man to put his hand ever. And I think I figured that out after, you know, after the fact, and I think it took my children, you know, the pain and suffering. We got to remember there's children in these households. So we're an adult. It's easy for us to take, you know, certain scars and we could bandage it up, we could get stitches, but them inner scars are the scars that you can't pour peroxide on. And the children, we have children in this home, in these homes. So I think it took watching my children suffer to make me say, you know what? Enough is enough, because at the end of the day, it's our children who ends up carrying that cycle. The cycle will never be broken when you have children in a household, because it's possible that if you have a male child, he's going to become an abuser. Or if you have a female child, she's going to think that this is the way it's supposed to be, and it's okay, because this is what she's been taught.
Right.
So I think it really took my children.
I am worried about you. This is Lady X.
I am
worried about you. And the reason I'm worried about you is I listen to you talk. You say you left because of the children. You didn't leave because of your self-love.
No, that's not what I said. No, that's not what I said. I said I think it also was my children that made me realize. That's what I said. I didn't say I left because of my children. I said I think also it was my children, also, my children, that made me realize. She asked me, when did I realize that, you know, I was being, that this was abusive and this was wrong? Also, besides the fact, let me tell you something. I've started the journey of learning how to love myself a few years ago. And everybody that's listening and right now, I learned the hard way that if you can't love yourself, you will end up in certain predicaments that you will always either regret or always find hard to climb out of. Starting the journey on learning to love yourself means you have to sit down and face things. That's the hardest thing I tell people to do, is when we take the time out to really learn how to love ourselves as an adult, because we're already built. So we're going to have to face things and look at things about ourselves that we may feel uncomfortable with. So it don't get me wrong. Because I learned how to love myself and put myself first is the number one reason why I'm out of what I'm out of. But it also part of that process, because you have to remember, I was a mother at 16. I was pregnant at 15. I was a mother at 16. By the time I was 17 and a half, I had two children, and I was in the streets on my own. So
it took
a lot. I'm dealing with a lot of luggage, I call it. I'm carrying so much love. And when I finally sat down to learn how to deal with my luggage, the number one thing I had to learn was how to deal with myself and learn how to love myself.
Okay.
And that's something that's very hard to do.
Queen, if I could interrupt briefly, I apologize. I have a question. I did, you know, get a chance to go onto your page, and I see, you know, that you do have very beautiful children, and I know that you have a son. And I'm curious to know, you know, for him particularly, he has a very mature, like, look about him. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like, what steps have you taken to try to help him understand that, you know, some of the things that he may have seen or may have gone through are not okay, so that he doesn't take that burden into his future relationship as he gets older?
You know, the thing about my son is I have this thing I say, it's easier to build a child than to repay an adult. The way that I have built my children, my son is not with it. Or he's not that, what I was going through, he was here some of the time, and most of the time he wasn't. He was away recording. And that's just something naturally that my son isn't with. He's never been brought up. It's a certain way that I have, you know, we have as victims, we have a way of, perpetrating a fraud in a way is what we do when it comes to our children. We will raise and we will mold our children. We will put on this front for our children, and but we will never really 100% really show our children we have ways of hiding things, in other words,
right,
from our children. So I've always raised my kids. My son is not even, he's not even that type. Thank God. You know, he's not even that type. And you know, that's why I say it's really important how we do raise our children. And because I have five children, and I have three younger children. And it was very important to me, too, with my oldest son. He didn't live through that being young. You know, as my younger children have had to witness what they've had to witness, you know, as like my younger kids. So that's why I said my children also is the reason why I removed myself, because I would hate to see the repairment that would have to be done for my three younger children if they've grown to be 16, 17, and live their whole life witnessing this.
Right.
The repair job would be detrimental.
So have you done your grieving?
My grieving?
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm still grieving.
Okay.
I'm still grieving. You know, I always tell women there's nothing wrong with closing that door and crying.
Okay. You must grieve
right.
The experience. You must grieve the abuse, the loss of trust, the loss of a partner. You
yep.
have to forgive that. You have
mm-hmm.
to forgive yourself in that. You must make a decision that you will never return to that. You will
mm-hmm.
never accept that in your life again. And then
yep.
you must move on. Because
yep.
if you don't grieve it and hold on to it, then you
yep.
don't continue to allow that abuse to control your life.
Life, yep.
So
and you're absolutely right.
Take back your life.
Yep.
It's to own it.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. And you know what? And I think one of the hardest things for a lot of women to do, because they say, okay, I'm okay now, I'm okay with it. But there's some part of that situation they're holding, and that's like holding a grudge.
Mm-hmm.
It's called letting it go. You know, I've come to a point in my life that I've learned how to just take a deep breath and just let it go and keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
Keep walking forward. Don't step back. Just keep walking forward. But it's so hard. It's so hard to... Especially when it comes to women in relationships, the relationship period, when you're used to someone, whether it's bad or good, when you're used to someone being there, when you're used to having a person there, it's hard for us to let go. Even when we're not in abusive relationships, when it's over, it's over. But, you know, sometimes for women, it's hard for us to let go because we're kind of an emotional species. So I had to learn how to take a deep breath and let it go. I'm not mad anymore. I was very angry at a point, very, very angry at a point. But I'm not even mad no more, because you know what? That anger will hold me and keep me stuck.
It will.
And how are you going to be stuck somewhere when that is the same place that you're trying to get away from?
Yeah.
I don't want to be there.
That man or whomever it is that abuses you goes on with their life, and they leave you stuck with the scars emotionally and physically. So it's like you owe it to yourself. To get
self,
up, you know,
yes.
He's a true
move forward.
Find another woman to
Right. And see, this is another thing I want to say is with my whole thing, and you know, a lot of people know me for music and writing books. This is something that I've been working with victims and children of domestic violence for several years. I've been working with high-risk teen girls and juvenile prisoners for several years. And you want to know something that I figured out is, if you truly say that, I really believe that I'm a crusader for, and I'm advocate for domestic violence, then you have to say that you really want to break the cycle. Now, breaking the cycle has to also deal with the abusers. You know, we have to realize that these men, you know, these men have problems like we have problems. If their cycle isn't broken, they're going to go on to the next woman, and a woman after that, and a woman after that, and a woman after that, and continue the same behavior. You know, there's certain laws that have to come into place to where is when a man is incarcerated for domestic violence, he should be mandated to a program in prison, like how a drug addict is mandated to a drug program when he's when he's locked up. Guess what? The law is a domestic violence abuser is not mandated to a program. It's his own discretion. And it's not fair, because that is a violent crime. And whereas you're taking a nonviolent crime as a person who has a drug problem and has to be mandated his whole time that he's incarcerated to rehabilitate him, then abusers should be mandated to programs to rehabilitate them. All you're doing is locking them up, letting them out, and they're more angry when they come out into the world. And that's not, we have to break the cycle way across the board.
There are programs for batterers, but a lot of the trouble is that half of the victims do not even report the crime. Half of the victims do not report the crime. Now, we pulled up some statistics on domestic violence, and in pulling up the statistics on the domestic violence, the police says they receive only half of the complaints. For example, the statistics say that every 9 seconds a woman is beaten in the United States. Every 9 seconds. So that means within an hour of this show, 6 women would have been beaten. If we're talking about only half of them reporting it, then we're saying 12 women will be beat within the hour. It says that 6 women, 6 females are sexually assaulted every 6 seconds. If it's 1 every 6 seconds, that's 1 every 2nd.
Well, you know what I find interesting? This is
Hold on. Let Lady X finish real quick, okay?
I don't want to steal somebody else's thunder, so I'm gonna hush on it and let that time come on your program to talk about that.
Okay. Yeah. Stand fast real quick. I know you're not feeling that well, Queen Penn, and I don't want to hold you that long, you know what I'm saying? But like I said, we truly appreciate you and we support you, and you are a strong woman and a good mother doing your thing, and we support you and what we can do to help you in your movement in regards to, you know, activism, because we support women, empowering women, and, you know, helping them, counseling them, going through the different situations they're doing. You know what I'm saying? We extend our hand to you.
Thank you. But you know what? What Lady X is saying, she's so absolutely right, because you know what? I can tell you as a victim a few reasons why we don't report it, or a few reasons why we say, you know what, it's not even worth it. I've gone through every step that a victim has to go through with my children's father, as calling the police, going to the precinct, going down to court, going to the family justice building, going to Safe Horizon. And let me tell you something. Dealing with the system will make a person say, you know what, I just can't even be bothered. It doesn't make any sense. Because once a woman comes to terms with enough is enough, and she's supposed to be able to fall back on to something, to a judicial system, or something that's supposed to, you know, have her back. And when there's so many loopholes, and to share with you guys, I've had Senator Eric Adams in court with me my last court date. And when I tell you
let me tell you what I tell you. I'm glad he was there to witness as a person who's up in Albany 3 days out the week. What a victim. I've done everything that I'm supposed to do, paper-wise work, so nobody can't say nothing to me. Got my order protections. Keep going to family court. Keep doing this. Keep doing that. And he sat in that court and watched how I was shot down as a victim and watched the court system tell me, well, it's not fair to give you a permanent order protection because it's not fair to your children's father for him not to get a chance to come into court to answer. He's not going to answer. He's wanted. He's not coming into court. Can I at least get a permanent order protection? And those are the things that's why I say we have to learn how to take a deep breath and keep it moving, because at that point, as I walked out that courtroom, I just cried because I just felt disrespected. And I just said, you know what, I don't even want to be bothered because it makes no sense. And these are some of the reasons why. And also, when we're talking about domestic violence, these are crimes of passion. And when you're talking about passion, they consider it. This is what they consider it. I've had an officer tell me this is a crime of passion. I think he just loves you. He just doesn't know how to tell you.
Wow.
And I'm like, when you have a detective who works for the domestic violence task force tell you, when you call the police and it takes them over 31 minutes to get there, when you are running back and forth to court. When you have a judge tell you your children's father, he has to have unsupervised visitation rights of the children. When the court system knows that he's a very violent person.
And they're not protecting you.
And then when you have women who are in shelters, I work with women who are in shelters, who are their children are in shelters, and the court system tells them they have to let their children have visitation rights during this court case with the dad. You know what happens? The dad fills the child's head up with all this crap. The child comes back to the shelter, to the mother, angry. It's all your fault. We had to move to another borough. I hate you. This, that. And the parent says, oh, you know what? I'd rather just go home than have to deal with my kid being miserable and sad.
Right. Let me share this.
That's the truth.
It is better to deal with your child's anger than for your child to have to deal with your
daughter. A lot of people don't know that.
To continue to stay in a relationship that is violent will ultimately lead to you killing
him
or he killing you.
Me and you know that. Me and you come to terms with that now. But you have a lot of women that haven't gotten to that place yet. And because they haven't gotten to that place mentally, does that make it okay for them to have to suffer being that they are what I call mentally enslaved? A lot of women are there. They haven't gotten there yet.
But
they haven't. You have everybody's not like everyone.
This is what Street Queens is doing. We're trying to enlighten women and to wake women up to the realization of what the truth is. Yes, it is embarrassing what happened to women in court, but we must not stop. We must continue.
Oh, no, you're right, and I won't stop.
We must continue to create a record of the abuse that you're undergoing, because if you don't have a record of abuse, when something violent happens, it's going to look like you just murdered the man.
Mm-hmm.
So you must create your record. And let's understand this. Violence don't just begin. You start off in the kitchen in the evening when you get in from work. Couples start arguing, and then licks and slaps break out in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the arguments that happen over things about the children, things about the bills, things about work, things about telephone calls, things about what I thought you should have done, things about what you're cooking for dinner, what you didn't cook for dinner. But then, when the kids go to bed at 9 o'clock, say around 10 or 11, the fights break out in the bedroom. Those are the deadly fights.
Uh-huh.
So those fights are the ones that have the guns involved, because
uh-huh.
the guns are usually stored in the bedroom. And those
uh-huh.
are the intimate fights, and those are the most deadly fights. The fights that happen in the kitchen, somebody may get hit with an object and may end up with a head concussion. They may get stabbed. They may get cut. The food may be thrown at them, and so they may be scalded and have some third-degree burns. But usually the incidents that occur in the kitchen are not deadly. They are injurious, but not deadly. But what happens in that bedroom at night is usually deadly.
Well, I know I've had to bury. I had a very close friend of mine whose boyfriend shot her in the head, propped up in the bed, dead, and her son had to find her. The thing is, I'm never going to stop, like Lady X says. I'm just built like that. I feel it's my duty to instill this into other women who feel like they have to give up. I feel it's my duty at the same time to make people who are not aware about, you know, domestic violence and about the laws of domestic violence. I have to make them aware. And I have to take a stand. And sometimes, you know, people say, well, Queen, but how could you just air your dirty laundry out? It's not embarrassing to me. Because you know what? I also look at it as, let me tell you, God put each and one of us in certain predicaments for certain reasons. It's up to us to take that predicament and that reason. Either we could turn and walk the other way, or either we could take it and run with it and do something with it. And being that I am Queenpin and people are going to listen to me, I feel that it is my duty to share my struggles and my pains, my trials and my tribulations, and also, you know, my gaining of self with other women and with other people to make them understand that this is a serious issue. It's not going to go anywhere. I'm not going to stop talking about it. I don't care if I got to sit on the steps of Albany. Just as much as I can promote an album and promote a book and let a record label run me into the hole, promoting and promo until I feel like I'm going to pass out, I could do the same thing with making people aware of issues that are going on in our neighborhoods and with our people. And in saying that, I'm going to hang up because I got a 1.5-year-old banging on my bedroom door because I closed the door on her. And I thank you. Lady X, thank you so much for being the person that you are.
Thank you.
Because there's not too many people out there like us. I thank you and appreciate it.
They're not talking about it.
They're not like us. They're out there, but they're not talking about it.
And 1/2 of wife batterers are regularly assault and abuse their children. So when you talk about the kids going back, de facto should be held accountable for putting the child back in a situation like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to begin, if there is no legislation about it, we need to begin to say when a case is still in litigation and not yet solved, de facto should never make a decision to give him any rights.
Speaking of that, matter of fact, I'm sorry to cut you off.
Battered women, then he should not be seeing the child because the history is that over 1/2 of them also abuse the child. So until that situation is resolved in the court, he should not have any visitation. They should not be making any decisions until the court makes their decision. Once the court makes their decision, then de facto.
It's funny that she says that because I want to mention before I hang up, I put a new, we put forth a new legislation. Now we'll see what happens. We'll see how many people vote on. We see how many people support it. I was working with Governor Patterson when he was senator and putting up forth a new legislation for domestic violence. Once he became governor, he wasn't senator no more. So Senator Eric Adams, with a whole list of other senators, stepped up to the plate, signed off on it, and we just put it up into Albany, and we'll see. And this new legislation for domestic violence, and this took a numerous of years for me to get to this point, to even get it up there, to get it signed off, to even be considered. And we'll see. And the new legislation, I mean, when I tell you the new legislation will make such a difference if we can get that support. So people in the New York area, if you could come out and support us, the press cut, where I'm having me and Persia, Senator Eric Adams, Assemblyman Hakeem Jeffries, the VP, Executive Vice President of Board of Rabbis, Joseph Pataskin, we all are doing a press conference January 16th from 4 to 9 in Brooklyn at Denim Lounge on Beffett and Halsey. Come out, support us, you know, help us, you know, get a little bit of support for this new legislation and for our fight.
And Queen Penn, you're one of the speakers in the story.
That legislation, please make sure that that legislation includes male victims of spousal abuse as well as
it is.
Sexual victims of partner abuse.
Yes, it is. It is.
This is Miss Toy from the Street. We are trying to have someone come out to that event from the Street Queens. Actually, myself, I'm going to try and come out and support that movement.
Please do. Because I like to match voices with faces. I want to see y'all faces.
Yeah, well, I'm coming up to represent my queen.
Oh, Queen.
Queen Penn,
this is Lush, and I have the press kit, so I'll be sending it out. It's going to be several of us coming up there to support. E2K Magazine has the magazine for media, and she's coming out there also. Or she'll get a representative. We got Streets of Mind that will be representing coming out there. CG Michelle has A-Game Magazine. All the media contacts within our network, I will send them up there to come and support you, and I myself will personally be up there to support you in your movement. And you know what I'm saying? And we support you, and I'll be bringing you a Street Queens T-shirt, you know
Thank
what I'm saying?
You.
and what you do. And for you being a strong woman, calling in to, you know, support the movement. And we support you. We respect you. You're strong. Stay up. We will be
Thank
praying
you.
In all that
Absolutely.
You
Thank you so much.
Got you. You know what I'm saying? For real. And
let
I
us know about your updates. Call in. Let us know about your updates and whatever we can do for your movement. We're here for
Thank
you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Lady X, do you got to say something? You know what I'm saying? I know she got some last words to say to you real quick before, you know what I'm saying, you leave off.
I'm going to stay on.
Are you going to come, Lady X? Are you going to try to come?
I'm all the way in Georgia, so I'm a little the most I can do is what I have done here tonight.
Thank you so much.
Share my thoughts with you on that. And I
I'm coming.
I wish you a lot of success.
Thank you so much.
There are not just a few thousand of women. There are millions of women that are counting on you and your being successful in this venture.
Yes, and I will say this on behalf of Lady X and myself, and this is Javita speaking, that we will definitely send a strong letter of support. And when you're definitely in this area and you're needing to network on that end, definitely let us know.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That's what's up. We love
you. Y'all have a blessed night. I love y'all. I'm going to see y'all on the 6th. Stay up. Okay, thank you. You have a blessed night.
You too. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Callers, listeners, man, that was Queen Penn. You know, she shared with us in her experience. Also, we have our expert Lady X, who has blessed us so wonderfully with her advice. She's on here. You know, if you need to ask her any questions on here, ladies, it's 347-826-7722. You know, Lady X has dealt with the same situation that Persia did. And shout out to Persia. We appreciate you for calling through. Shout out to Underground Girls of Hip Hop for providing that. You know what I'm saying? You know, so we doing that one too. And we got our Street Queens on here. Lady X, you're going to stay on the line with us, right?
Right.
Okay. So we're going to go back into, you know, the rest of the topics. And I want to thank you so much, Lady X, for gracing us with your presence on here, for real, seriously. Because it takes a strong woman to share, you know, experiences on what she went through, you know.
Seriously. I'm glad.
That's what's up. And I'm bringing in CG, you know, on the line. Peace, Queen.
Hey, Peace Queens. How y'all doing?
Peace Queen.
All
right.
Peace Queen.
Hey.
That's what's up. Now we're going, like I said, recap real quick. We had Queen Penn on there talking about her experience supporting the movement, Persia supporting the movement. They're having an exclusive press comment on domestic violence on the 16th in New York. It's going down. I'll be sending out press information to the people going down the line. Javita just talked about the number and percentage of how many women are beaten in the country. And also, we're going on to the next subject, battered women syndrome. Toy and Lissette, spousal abuse, battered and abused teens. You guys can take that one.
Okay, well, Lissette and I split it up.
I do have, you know, a definition of what battered women syndrome is, and I'm also going to expand upon what spousal abuse is, and Lisette is going to expand on, you know, how it affects the team, correct?
That's
Lisette?
Right. That's
okay.
Right.
Well, battered women syndrome is something that is a very, very serious problem all over the world. You know, here in America, don't forget that countries, you know, across the nation, that women are, you know, constantly abused. And maybe in the United States we have more of a chance to speak up for ourselves, but in some countries women have no rights, and they're continuously fighting for their rights. But battered women syndrome is described by a well-known doctor named Dr. Lenore E. Walker as a subgroup of what the American Psychological Association defines as post-traumatic stress disorder, rather than a form of mental illness. So it's not like something that is a permanent, you know, mental state. It's something that you can be healed from. It's something that you can, you know, come out of. And some of the four characteristics of battered women syndrome is the abused person believing that the violence is all their fault, or that they somehow provoked it or caused it, or also that the abused person has an inability to place the responsibility for the violence elsewhere. Number three is the abused person fears for their life and or their children's lives. Number four, it says that the woman or the abused person has an irrational belief that the abuser is omnipresent and omniscient. They use battered women syndrome in court, and it's defined as a breaking down of a woman's self-confidence and self-respect to a point where she no longer knows if she is crazy or not.
Wow.
And I personally feel that, you know, the lines get blurred about what behavior from your mate is normal or acceptable, because I personally went through, you know, a very, very violent relationship that, you know, I've been removed from about 3 years. And within those 3 years, I constantly are reminded every day of how that abuse affected me. So I think that I did have battered women syndrome, and it kind of opened me up when I had to do the research for this. And it opened up fresh feelings that were hard for me to even confront, even now, you know, 3 years removed. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, looking from the outside in, a person may think that the woman or the person that's being abused is weak or stupid. And there's many people that will, you know, pass judgment and say, I would never let a man hit me, and that man would never treat me like that. But when you're in a committed, you know, marital relationship, and you plan on spending the rest of your life with this person, and you build a home and have children, it's a whole different set of circumstances when that man has you hemmed up against the wall and he's telling you, bitch, I'll kill you. It's like, whoa, wow, why? I thought you loved me. You're supposed to protect me. And it's not for you to pass judgment on that woman, but to understand that they're trying to protect their home and their lifestyle. And some women don't have anything besides that man to take care of them. So, spousal abuse, you know, one of the main triggers of spousal abuse in a marriage, they kind of attribute to, you know, stressful economic times. And it kind of makes you feel like, you know, with, you know, the recession, you know, a lot of women are probably going through a lot, you know, due to the fact that their man may not be able to provide for them like he used to. You know, spousal abuse occurs when one person in an intimate relationship or marriage tries to dominate or control the other person. And, you know, abusers, they don't play fair. You know, they'll use fear, guilt, or shame, or intimidation to try and wear the woman down and try and keep her in that place where, you know, wherever he wants her.
And that's true. And, you know, on to that, because only due to the fact of time and stuff, you know, Lisette, you know what I'm saying, can go ahead and knock hers out, and we can keep it rolling, because the time is, like, going short on the fact that we had, you know, our guests and stuff coming through, you know. So, you know, if you, you know, wrap that up and move on, we can go to the set and move on to the rest of the ladies so we can knock this out.
Now, when it comes to, this is Lisette speaking, when it comes to teenagers, it's referred to as, like, dating violence. And the statistics to me is very, very mind-boggling. It's ridiculous. About 1 in 3 high school students have been or will be involved in an abusive relationship. 40% of teenage girls ages 14 to 17 say that they know somebody their age who's been hit or beaten by a boyfriend. okay? Teen dating violence most often takes place in the home of one of their partners, a friend's house, a cousin's house. You know, basically the teenagers go over to a friend's house, they're with their boyfriend, and something can occur. College students also have been raped. We're talking about 68% of the victims knew that, you know, it was a boyfriend, it was a friend or casual acquaintance that raped them. So we're talking about 68% of young women being raped. 68% is crazy. 6 out of 10 rapes of young women occur in their own home or in a friend or relative's home, not in a dark alleyway somewhere. Okay, a lot of people, when you think about rape, it's like, oh, you know, dark alleyway, somebody knocked me out or try to, you know, rape me in the street. No, it happens in your home. It happens in friend's house. It happens in these common places. You know, you're going to go hang out, chill out with your boyfriend, and all of a sudden you get into an argument, you're getting beat. You don't even know why. They don't even recognize that it's abuse, these young women. And that's the scary part. You know, these young women need to get educated about what is abuse, what is rape. Some women don't even know what rape means. No means no, and a lot of these women, young women, they don't recognize that, and that's scary.
This is Lady X.
One in three teenagers have experienced some type of violence during a relationship. And, you know, the whole point about abuse is maintaining power and control over the other one through abuse. And this is something that basically crosses all racial, economic, and social lines.
Yes.
Most victims are young women, and they're at a greater risk for serious injury.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when women are out there, young women, they have to have some sort of safety plan, you know. If they meet somebody, you know, you like this person, you're going on a first date, make sure that you're double dating. Take your best friend with you. You know, have her give you the rundown on this guy. You know, I think he's kind of crazy. I think he's kind of cute. I think you shouldn't be with him. Or, you know, have somebody else with you if you're going to go out on a first date. You know what I'm saying? Have a plan. If you're going to go out, have an exact plan. This is where we're going to go. We're going to go to the movies from this time to this time. Make sure that somebody knows. Have a parent or your best friend know, a neighbor. So basically have some kind of trail on you. You know, don't go out with strangers. Don't go out with people you don't really know. Don't consume alcohol. You're a teenager. You're not supposed to be drinking. If you do, and I please don't, at least know what your limits are, you know. What are your issues when you drink? If you drink, first of all, you shouldn't even be drinking. Okay? At 27, I don't even like to drink anything that's stronger than wine. But if you do, be aware of your abilities. Under the influence. Don't leave parties with people you really don't know, okay? An acquaintance is not a friend. An acquaintance is not somebody who's going to be there for you. There's people who pass out, hit their head on the bar, and their friends walk away, you know? Let alone go to some stranger's house.
Lissette, real quick, sorry to interrupt you, but I know the expert, Lady X, was trying to say something. Real quick to address the thing that you just spoke about.
Mm-hmm. What I was trying to interject in terms of for young people going out on a date, parents should never allow their daughter or their son to go out empty-handed. And by that I mean they should have some money in their pocket. If it's nothing more than just some money to make a phone call home that say, come get me, because if that situation and that date isn't going well, she's supposed to know that she can walk away. And that means that as parents, when we know our daughter went out on a date, you don't go out on a date and go somewhere and can't be found. You are at home so that if she needs you, she can call home and know that you're going to be at the other end of that line. And if she said, I'm on street Hell Gate, you're going to come get her. That I know where that's at. Stay right there. I'll be there in 5 minutes. You jump in the car and go around there and get her. That she don't have to stay on a date and put up with insults or any type of physical abuse. Now, a lot of guys try to convince girls, especially young girls, that this is love. I'm hitting you because I love you. And if that's the kind of love he got, she don't want his love. And also he tells her that she brought it on herself, that she was looking at somebody, she spoke to somebody in the restaurant or at the movie, and so he hits her and says, well, you brought it on yourself. I wouldn't have done it if I didn't love you. We have to be teaching and training our daughters that this is not love, this is abuse, and this is a mind game.
You know, Lady X, Queen Penn had mentioned something that stood out for me. Growing up, she said that she didn't have anything to compare a normal relationship to. Her father wasn't there. And when she said that, I was just thinking about how many single moms we have out here who may be going through some kind of situation with abuse, you know, with...
Details of relationships on TV. We can pick out somebody in the community that we believe have a healthy relationship and establish a relationship with them. We have friends whose house we visit in that have a dad and a mom, and they show healthy love back and forth. And if you're visiting in a home where there's violence, you're supposed to be smart enough to know, I shouldn't be visiting over here. It's not safe.
That's right.
So there are a lot of things that as parents we can do in terms of a hero. You just got to pick you one. As a daughter, in terms of someone to role model, she got to pick somebody. And most time, kids pick us. Your child is usually going to pick you. And they accept violence because mama accepts violence. If you don't accept violence, your child will not accept it. And do not lie to your children about what he does to you. If he has beat you and your mouth is all busted up and your eye is black, don't say you fell into the wall. Go ahead and say your daddy hit you. Because children know that. Don't lie to them. They know the truth. Learn to teach the children to tell the truth by telling the truth to the child. And if you practice telling the truth to kids, when you ask them, they will tell you the truth. I have never worried about my kids telling me lies because I tell them the truth. I am their role model. I practice telling them the truth, even when it's hard. And I tell them, even if it's hard, tell me. Because if I discover it 5 months later, my reaction is still going to be the same. And, if I'm going to get over it then, 5 months from now, I can get over it now. You know, it's not going to change. So tell
Lady
me up front, tell me now. And there was something else was mentioned earlier about not wanting to break up your home and losing your personal property. You lose your house, you lose your furniture, the kids lose their home. Look, on that, we know that we're going to lose something when relationships break up. You have to be prepared for that. What you lose then is called material things. And as I told my spouse, because he drove up the U-Haul and emptied everything in the house out, called me back and bragged that I took everything. You ain't got nothing. You have absolutely nothing but what you put in your car and left with in your car. That even your personal stuff, I took that too. And I told him, thank you. I want to appreciate you so much for that. Because now I know what type of man you are. And I will not be confused enough to even listen to any lies you have to say about getting back together.
And you don't have to look at a piece of furniture and remember his face.
everything that you took is material things. I can get all of that back. I can get it back in time. I can't have it tomorrow, but I can get it back in time. So it's all right. Let it go.
What you can't get back is your life.
Right. You can't get your life back. Let all that material thing go.
That's the truth. And, lady, that's a true statement, and a lot of women need to know that. When it's time to let go, let go. If you want to talk to Lady Next or any Street Queens, call in at 347-826-7722. And I would like to thank all my listeners and all of the Street Queens listeners that are on the line right now that are listening in, and all the people that are in the chat room listening to the Street Queens, Lady X, Queen Pen, Persia, all of us on the show. And I'm going to go to a quick commercial. And when we come back from the commercial, we'll move on to Felicia Sabri. So hold on, ladies, for me.
It's your girl, Lushy Lush, man. Did you ever think about picking up a magazine to see nothing but the hottest ladies that's doing hot things in the industry, from models to business owners? We trying to find out the beauty outside and the beauty within.
So if you thought about that, pick up E2K magazine at www.myspace.com/E2K magazine or www.everything2.com or email them at E2K magazine@gmail.com, man. It's nothing. Holla at your girl, man. Pick up E2K magazine and support them in their movement, man. Like Nike say, just do it.
Yeah, 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 man. It's your girl, Lusty Lust, man. And you know what I'm saying? I'm live with the panel, the Street Queens, man. They got the view. We got the panel. It's a hot, warm, you know, compelling show. We got Battle Women, Episode 1. You know, we're going to have Episode 2 following this one. So stay tuned for that show, too. It's 347-826-7722, you know. So, you know what I mean? Any callers that want to call in, you can call in anonymous, 347-826-7722. Make sure you support E2K Magazine. She got specials going on right now to get your ads in, you know what I'm saying? So we got to support our young ladies in their movement doing what they want to. So, you know what I'm saying? We back on the line with the ladies, and we're going on to one of our queens, Miss Felicia Sabree. The difference between emotional and physical abuse. Miss Felicia.
All right, I'm going to elaborate real brief. Emotional abuse, in other terms, is referred to as psychological abuse. It's a form of abuse characterized by a person subjecting or exposing another to behavior that is psychologically harmful. It involves the willful infliction of mental and emotional anguish by threat, humiliation, or other verbal and nonverbal conduct. Ladies, if you're out there and if you think you may be a victim of emotional abuse, you can ask yourself these questions. Do you feel that you can't discuss with your partner what is bothering you? Does your partner ridicule you for expressing yourself? Does your partner isolate you from your friends, families, or groups? Or does your partner limit your access to work, money, or material things? I have a cycle of abuse for emotional abuse, which is first tension building. Tension increases, breakdown of communication. Victim fails need to placate the abuser. Phase two is incident, verbal and emotional abuse, anger, blaming, arguing, threats, and intimidation. Phase three of emotional abuse is reconciliation. The abuser apologizes, gives excuses, blames the victim, denies the abuse occurred, or says it wasn't as bad as the victim claims. And phase four is incident is forgotten. No abuse is taking place. And then the cycle just continues. You go through the abuse, and then they apologize. Some characteristics of, you know, if the man, of the man who is emotional abuser is he possibly was verbally abused as a child or witnessed it in his own family. His sense of masculinity depends on the woman's dependency upon him. He feels like a man only if his partner is totally submissive and dependent on him, or he may have low self-esteem. Now, I want to just get into physical abuse really quick. The correct definition for physical abuse is physical force or violence that results in bodily injury, pain, or impairment. It includes assault and battery and inappropriate restraint. Some physical indicators, you know, could be punching, pushing, throwing objects at another person, assaulting someone. Anything that brings physical pain or discomfort to another, which can result in broken bones, internal organ injuries, miscarriage, brain concussions, or even death. So physical abuse is definitely something that needs to be addressed. And there are some behavioral indicators. You know, if you someone around you and you're not really sure, but you may think that they're being physically abused and they don't want to talk about it, sometimes it takes someone to intervene when injuries are unexplained or explanations are implausible. Maybe a delay between onset of injury and seeking medical care. You've seen, like, the same injury for a long time on the person. And there's actually a hotline call. You can call the National Domestic Violence Hotline. If anybody out there may be a victim of emotional or physical abuse, it is 800-799-SAFE.
799-SAFE?
Yep. Repeat it again, Felicia.
800-799-SAFE, and that is the National Domestic Violence Hotline, or,
you
know, for any type of abuse.
But I'll pass it on.
That's what man. That's your girl, Felicia Sabri. CG, you know, we move on to CG. CG, why do women stay? Children, how does it affect the children? Lack of money, abuse in the past, confused about what's love, dependence. CG, speak on that.
Miss CG?
CG?
Oh, no.
I'm here.
Oh.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Don't scare us.
Oh, no. Okay, yeah. When I usually have the topics that I choose, I usually do research, and I did brief research. But on this one, I spoke with an associate of mine, which I knew she went through abuse. And this was the first time we actually went in depth with it. And, I mean, she actually touched on every single topic here, so I decided to use her story for the information. Starting with the children, she has a young daughter. The little girl is age 8 now, and she was around the age of 5 or 6 when the abuse originally happened. And she was in an abusive relationship that didn't turn abusive until 2 years after she was already with the gentleman. She said she stayed because first she thought that she could hide it from her daughter. She thought that her daughter didn't recognize because of the age of her daughter. She thought she wasn't old enough to realize what was going on. And she could hide the bruises on mommy's face. You know, she could scream lower, you know, or she could, you know, send her daughter to a babysitter when she knew that, you know, problems were going to occur. It didn't help. The little girl was able to notice everything. Kids pick up very quickly. So, and the child was with the gentleman. You know, it was with the man that beat her. And another thing, she didn't want to separate the little girl from her father. She felt that she should continue to go through the abuse as opposed to splitting up a happy home, when in reality it really wasn't a happy home because her daughter recognized and understood everything. How does the abuse affect the children? Going back to her history, her mother was abused, and she feels that it affected her because it enabled her, well, not enabled her, it made her feel it was okay to accept abuse. She felt like she saw her mother go through it, so she was more willing to stick it out. Mm-hmm. And she's not blaming her mother. She just feels that when she finally decided to get out, the reason behind it was she didn't want to continue that path. She didn't want to continue that path. And have her daughter go through the same situation where when she grows up and she's in a relationship, she feels like it's okay to accept it the same way her mother did. Lack of money. She was in a financial situation where she couldn't afford to move out on her own. She had a daughter. She had a car note. You know, she had a few student loans. She had a bunch of different bills. She couldn't afford to live in her place, her townhome, which was shared by her and a gentleman. You know, not to go all into her financial business, but her rent was around $1,500 a month, which she said, and she just couldn't afford it on her salary. So she decided that, just like a lot of people are doing now, it's better to just stay in an unhappy situation if you can afford your bills that way, you know, because not just the recession, because this happened before the recession, but financially it's just hard out there on your own as a single mother, and she was terrified of being out there on her own. Like I said before, abused in the past. This is a young lady who the pattern went from her mother to her. And not only was she physically abused, she was verbally, emotionally, and sexually abused.
Mm.
And this is something that she went through from the age of 13. And then when she became an adult, it seemed like the men that she would pick abused her in some sort of way. You know, they didn't all hit her, but verbal abuse is just as bad, you know, or, you know, they emotionally abused her. And she's been sexually abused 3 times in her life by 3 different gentlemen, you know what I mean?
Gosh.
Confuse abuse with love. This situation was when she really started tearing up because she felt like the reason he would hit her was because of jealousy, and if he was jealous, it must mean that he loved her, you know, if she spoke to somebody else, if she, and it didn't just have to be a gentleman. If she could wave to a friend that she's seen, you know, from high school, she knew that she would get hit later. If she spoke to one of her girlfriends too long on the phone, she knew that she was going to get hit later. He didn't like her sharing her time with anybody else. And she felt like that was because he was jealous, and the only way a person will be jealous is if they care about you. You know, and I think that's where the confusion comes from. It was a controlling thing with him. It was about him being in control, having the power, and having the say-so over her. It wasn't about love.
That's
it was about, you know, ownership and dependent. I think this goes along with, in some way, the lack of money because she was dependent on him for that reason. Also, she was dependent on him because she felt like she couldn't find another man because she felt she was so scorned from whatever happened in her past that who else would want her. She was insecure about herself physically, and she felt like it was, you know, not easy for her to get another man. And not all abused, I'm not saying all abused women are, I'm just saying her story. So she was very dependent on him because she felt like he was, you know, physically the cream of the crop or the best she's ever, you know, best looking that she's ever been with. And she was just dependent on how he appeared to people on the outside, but no one knew what was going on in their home. You know, so she was able to overcome the situation. She was able to leave, you know, and he went on and he went into another relationship and where he attempted to abuse the next woman and he got a rude awakening. And not only did her family take care of him, but he's in jail now.
Good.
So, yeah, the story turned it out, you know, turned out for the best. And she's just such a smart, beautiful woman. And she learned that she can do it on her own. She's making it by herself now, her and her child. You know, she did need help, but she got through it. And she vows now to never let anyone talk down on her, you know, call her the names that he was calling her, hit her, force her to have intercourse with him if she didn't want to. And she would never put her daughter through that again. I mean, and that's just a story I wanted to share with you because I feel like it would just be much better to share experience that someone shared with me as opposed to, you know, telling you why doctors feel people stay. Because the only person who can really tell you why they stay is the person who's done it, you know?
Mm-hmm. And
we truly appreciate you, CG, and that young lady, shout out to her for even telling you the story, you know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? It takes a lot, like I said, to recognize women what they go through. And on that note, I'm going to bring in a caller real quick. 347, you're live on, you know, Lush Radio Online presents Street Queens, the movement, battered women. You know, they got the view, we got the panel. Speak on it, caller.
What's up, Lush? This is Super Size Spanish Fly, Links from EG Radio. How you doing?
Links, what's good?
What's up, Links? What I do?
Peace, Queen.
Well, peace, Queen. How you all doing? How's everybody on the line doing tonight?
Good.
Well, I didn't say anything because I was caught up with what was being said, and I actually have something that just occurred in my family. My cousin, he went to pick up my cousin who was in an abusive relationship, and then they went out to eat, and her lover, her boyfriend, whatever you call him. He found them in the restaurant, and he killed my cousin. He killed
my
God. He did nothing to her. And so now we got a funeral to go to, and it's, you know, this is something for women to think about. We all saw the tragedy, what happened with Jennifer Hudson and her family, and they take it out not just on you, on your family members, on your children. You know, there's serious issues that arise. So someone who is abusive is not stable. In the mind, obviously, and it's not just yourself you're putting at risk. You're putting your family and people close to you. And
oh my goodness!
You know, so
our condolences.
Thank you.
Yeah, our condolences.
This happened Saturday, and
Jesus!
He just, you know, he didn't get involved. He didn't step to homie. He just picked her up to help her out, give her a ride, and look what happened to him. So it's, you know, it's crazy, and that's. Things like this, stories like these will make people reluctant to get involved or to assist or to help anyone. But, you know, it's that serious. And a lot of women, because they you know, it's all about your self-esteem, how you see yourself. If you see yourself as a doormat, then you're going to be a doormat. But if you see yourself as a queen, like the queens I'm talking to on the phone, then a queen is not going to tolerate no nonsense or that kind of behavior. And it's your mindset. And it's very important to see yourself in that light. That you're precious, that you're not to be touched, you're not to be abused or spoken to a certain way. There's just a certain amount of respect that should be present in a relationship, you know, because it's not a healthy one if there isn't. And I just wanted to say I feel for the sisters who are in the situation, but you've got to really wake up and take a look at who else you could be hurting besides yourself.
Yeah. This is Lady X. And I think it's important that we drive that point home, that the danger
I can barely hear you, sister.
Yeah, I can't. The danger increases when you attempt to leave. So her attempt to leave him escalated the danger factor.
Mm-hmm.
And when the danger factor escalates, then you're going to have a fatality. If she could have recognized that, then they would have never gone to a restaurant. They would have went wherever he was to take her as far as a safe place. And many times a safe place is not going to relatives' homes because that's the first place he's going to look. And he's going to bring the violence there.
Mm-hmm.
So when we decide to leave, it's always important that we leave discreetly. And you leave when he's not there. And you go someplace that he will not think to look. So when he comes to your family's house, he does not find you there. So your leaving must be planned out. And it must be planned carefully and discreetly. And that means everybody in the family can't know. So when he come and ask your mother where you are, she must say, I do not know. I have not heard from her. And she needs to genuinely be surprised that she is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And when he go to your brother don't know. And your brother has no idea where she's at. But we will start looking for her now that you've let us know that she's not there. But it's important not to get family involved. And once she called the cousin and had him to come pick her up, it was an error to go to a public place to eat because, as far as he knew, this was a boyfriend.
Oh, no. He knew there was
a cousin. Then he was angry that he had her.
Yeah.
He was angry that he had picked her up, that you're trying to take her from me.
But I think in order to...
ultimate price.
I think in order to say that, we got to assume that he is a sane person. He wasn't a sane person. So I think with her going with her cousin, I don't think that it was an error. I think because he's crazy, it turned it into a tragic situation. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, under any circumstance, you know, even if we don't tell our parents where we go or we don't tell our family members where we go, they could be so frustrated that they just take it out on them just because. Mm-hmm.
On the third person
see,
that they asked.
With Balfour supposedly... he was jealous over a gift he saw, and he came back and took out, you know, her mother, her brother, and her son. Just to be spiteful like that, I can't even comprehend what his strategy was. What did he hope to gain? It was just plain evil.
And my condolences go out to you, Supersize, in regard your whole family. And prior to this, I had a conference call and an interview with Julian King's actual real father, Gregory King, Jennifer Hudson's nephew's real father. Mm-hmm. And I talked to him and I asked him, I said, you know, aware of the abuse. He said, I never was aware. She would never tell me. I thought she married this guy. Everything was cool. He would try to befriend me, but I didn't really know him like that. But she would keep everything to herself. If he had known, he would have took it in his hands to take his child. He said he never knew that guy was like that. And women, we need to let people know what is going on.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
people know what is
going on. Yeah, we need to let people know what's going on. We need to, I think the challenge now before, not just our communities in the hood, but in an international level, is to create a social and a material and structural conditions in which women and girls can develop to their full potential. Because you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you will find that these women who are prone to becoming victims of domestic violence are women who rely on the man's income and who rely or count on him as the source of her happiness and her reason for being. But if women are taught from a young age to increase their own income, to rise in professional roles and political spheres, then I think we would have succeeded in developing more, girls who become women with high self-esteem and high standards.
But let me tell you something, that these men are so good manipulators that they will even break down a woman with the most highest self-esteem, because I've seen it firsthand where I had a friend that, I mean, she couldn't think more about herself than herself. It was like crazy. And she met one particular dude that broke her down, like literally. I mean, she wasn't thinking about herself. It turned out to be about him, and he did that like a thief in the night. And this was a girl, when I tell you that if she wasn't first, nobody was first. And it came out to that she was accepting that he was slapping her and all type of, an independent woman owning her own car, business, I mean, everything. And she was allowing this, because he was a punk, didn't have nothing, he had nothing at all. And he was dominating her in that way. Is that they come like a thief in the night, and sometimes when you don't even expect it, and it could happen. It could happen, Emma, not just Emma. To young girls or whatever. It could be to independent ones that have their own money, too.
Emma, do you think it's a situation where a woman who's established will probably say something like, you know, how could he not want me? I'm professional. I got this going. How could he
I think more is embarrassment. Once it happens, I think it's more embarrassment, because how are you going to go and tell anybody, you know, after you have your nose up so in the air, how are you going to turn around and tell somebody, you know, this guy hit me a slap? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think people would be sympathetic, because you've been a certain way, so people look at you like, well, you probably deserve to get slapped or whatever. You know what I mean? And then so they'll stay with that. They're like, let me just shut up and I'll deal with it. But when you do that, when you stay quiet and you try to deal with it on your own, it only gets worse.
That's true. And ladies, real talk, I just want Lady X to share an experience, because she did do counseling with young ladies, and I want her to speak on a situation when a young lady actually came to her and told her that a man was showing her love by abusing her. Lady X, could you speak on that?
Yes. That was a young lady that I knew, and she was actually a friend of mine. And she came and she showed me bruises on her body. She had been hiding from her brother for days. And he had called me. He'd called the dorm. He'd called everywhere looking for her. And she was hiding. And so finally she came down and talked with me. And so she showed me the bruises. And he had kicked and stomped her. She had bruises in her face where he had slapped her. And she told me, she said, look how he loved me. Just look how he beat me. He sure do love me. And I said, what? You know, you read about that in the psychology book, but you never expect to meet somebody that genuinely believes that somebody loves me because they beat me. Now, that is that same concept that prostitutes have, though. When the pimp beats them, they believe that he really loves them because he beat them. And they grow to accept the beating. And that if he don't beat me, he don't care nothing about me. And her concept was that he beat me, so he loves me. And you've got, and she talked about how bad he beat her, that he beat her off the porch, down the step, kicked her through the yard, and back to her car, kicking and stomping. And he came back crying and beating bruised, and she just black and blue, all on her thighs and her side. On her arms, just a terrible mass of marks. And in talking with her, I tried to get her to see, you're going to get your brother killed. Because in her hiding, she didn't want him to see her beat like that. Because if her brother had seen her beat like that, he'd have went looking for him. And that would have resulted in a beating or a killing. And she would have been the cause of that. You know, and so she said, well, that's why if my brother looking for me and he done beat me, you can't never tell him where I'm at. You can't never tell him you've seen me. So she hides from family until the bruises clears up.
Wow. My goodness. That is so serious.
That is so disturbed.
Uh-huh. And that's the truth. And that brings us into, my section. Why do abusers abuse? And then, you know, I'm going to make a statement, and then I'm going to let, you know, the ladies go into, you know, how they feel about it. normally, like, taking in effect prior in another conversation, snap out, actually hit it on, you know, one of the prior shows, that he actually was an abuser at one time to his wife, and he regrets that the things he did do to her. And all of these things were due to the fact that childhood, the things that affect you at your ages of childhood, reflects on you as an adult. Like we said prior to this, what you experience in childhood takes upon you, and you take that with you as you become an adult. He said that he seen his father, you know, doing what he did in regards to his mother and this, that, and third, and treating her bad. So he and his father used to beat him to the point, you know, he dealt with an abusive relationship. I think it was either his father or his stepmother. He was in an abusive situation when he was younger. He took that on him, and he was very insecure of that, not being in control, not, you know, he was never going to allow somebody to take advantage of him. So then in turn, he used that and preyed on the weak. He preyed on the weak-minded women that allowed him to abuse them. A lot of abusers abuse because of their own insecurities, and therefore they become violent when they use alcohol. A lot of them are alcoholic and become abusers from their aggression, and they lash out on whoever's the first person that they live with that they see every single day. They lash on because, you know, sometimes they feel like, you know, they don't want to lose that person, so they're going to do whatever to hold that person down through physical and verbal abuse, degrading a woman, breaking a woman down to the point where she just feels like there's no hope for her anymore. You understand? I've been through that. I've been through that in my prior marriage to my ex-husband with the verbal abuse. But I'm gonna tell you one thing: he tried his hand on me, and I whooped him. And he called the police on me. I whooped him, and he could tell you today I whooped him. I ripped the shirt off, and I beat him in his head until he got his mind right.
Exactly.
And I'm gonna tell. And, you know, and I'm going to tell you right now, women, you need to go and go to your self-defense classes so you can protect yourself. I'm part military, and I'm a good shot. I'm not, if I have to kill you, I will kill you. But I don't, I mean to sever you. If I am to injure you, I will injure you. But I will let you know that you will not put your hands on me or my child. You understand
Lush,
me?
Lush, you know? Can I say something? Can I say, this is Lisette speaking. I've actually taken self-defense courses for about 4.5 years, and I just want to put a note out there. When you are being attacked, okay, your elbows, your knees, his throat, his groin, those are all spots. These are all spots that you can use, okay? Your elbows, you can knock somebody's nose off their face if you know how to use it, okay? Make sure you go and get some classes because, number one, you can stay fit, and number two, you can stay safe. And I had the best time taking these classes, so I just want to throw that in there since you said self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
That's true.
Be ready for it. Be ready for anything.
Yeah. Like, y'all, everybody watched that movie enough with Jennifer Lopez. You had to go through. You need
yes.
to prepare yourself. You need to know his move. You need to know and prepare yourself and be ready for anything. Because an abuser is not about yourself being at all. Abusers abuse because they are insecure with themselves. They haven't loved themselves. And Oz actually admitted, he said, one time I beat my wife to a bloody pulp. I beat her because she made hot dogs for me.
Wow.
Her because she made hot dogs for me. And she said, it's not funny, but I said, we call that a hot dog beat. You beating her because she made hot dogs because he was brought up that a woman's not supposed to make, she's supposed to make an actual meal, not hot dogs. So it's all about the mentality and the way that it's raised.
Anything will do.
It's the truth. Go ahead, Lady X.
This is Lady X, and I'm glad you brought up the fact that about women beat men, because that's prevalent too. There are a lot of women that beat men, but you don't hear about it because men don't like to report that. That they see that as shameful. He's supposed to be tough, and he's supposed to be able to handle himself. But there are some women that actually beat men, and they beat them good. There's a lesson. I need to give lessons on how to beat a man down. Y'all know how to beat him.
She put him in ICU.
She put him in ICU. Sister God. And she didn't use no weapon neither. Sister God beat him down. The police came and arrested her and put her in jail for a few nights. And they pressed the charges against her for spousal abuse because he had a lot of injuries that had healed from where she had beat him. This night she threw him through a plate glass window. Rather seriously.
Was this She-Hulk who did that?
Huh?
Was that She-Hulk who did that? Because
you become She-Hulk.
She became she says she don't take no crap from no man. I don't take no stuff from no man. When I tell him what to do, he better get to doing it.
Oh, wow.
And he disobeyed her, and she got mad, so she just went right on and beat him. And then there was another girlfriend, and her boyfriend was beating her. And she said, I got to get this sister lessons on how to beat him. She ain't handling business, because you don't take that. I don't take that.
You know what, lady?
There are a lot of women that do take that. And
that's true.
This guy was injured, but he was kind of subdued, quiet fellow, small frame, not that has been taught to respect women and not to be abusive. That I'm never going to hit her. I'm going to talk to her, but I ain't going to hit her. So he wasn't going to hit her back. So in his choosing not to fight her back, she just beat him to a pulp.
You know what, Lady X, that when, this is Lizette speaking, growing up, it was a situation where my parents, they had a love-hate relationship, okay? There was one incident that I remember. It was like a short period of time in my life that my father actually put his hands on my mom. And the day that she fought back was the last time that he ever laid a hand on her. And I never spoke about this to anybody, so it's really difficult, but I want to express it. My mom got so angry, she put her fist right through the wall unit, glass window, the glass door, and she just punched it out of anger. Walking around with a bloody hand, I'm like 10 years old, and I'm watching all this stuff. Okay, blood on the floor. She goes into the kitchen. And I don't remember what she grabbed, but I know that she, you know, with a messed up hand, she went and she defended herself. She went back. She beat my father up. And that was the last time that he's ever laid a hand on my mother.
That's crazy. She had to obviously, maybe he was the type of man that needed to see that she was standing up for herself. And really, you know, to make him stop, because this is Miss Toy speaking. This is Miss Toy speaking, and I understand what you mean, because, you know, I haven't really said a lot, because I know this situation touches too close to home, but I was in a relationship where my man always would, you know, he would just basically try to break down my self-esteem because he knew I was a strong woman. So his ways of doing that was intimidation and, you know, putting his hands on me and all this other craziness. But when I hear you guys talk about, you know, fighting back, it's interesting because the times when I did fight back, it's like he found some pleasure in it. Because obviously it's like I wasn't as strong as him, but I could do some damage, but it's like that turned him on. And it was really scary to see the mentality of a person that really tries to hurt you and pushes you to your point where you're fighting back, and they're still getting pleasure out of it. So there was no way for me to win from the situation but to get myself out of it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Order to have a fight, you have to know your opponent. To have a successful fight, you have to learn your opponent. You know, you have to study because not every man is the same, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is Emma speaking. And I speak to you because I've been battered all my relationships. Since my first relationship onto my current, I've been battered. I've been, you know, physically and mentally abused. I got fractured skulls, nose, all, you name it, I got it. You know, I've been shot, stabbed. I've been handcuffed. I've been shot at. I've been grazed. I've been run over by a car. I've been pulled in car windows. I mean, the list will go on, you know. But just to say all that, to say that, is because it does become a pattern when you're young. You know, you see it around you, so it becomes normal, you know, and then you live it, you know, you live it. And you don't really complain because the person you're going to complain to is going through the same thing. So it becomes, well, whatever. We just learn to deal with it. When you live in urban neighborhoods like we do, like Queen Penn said, because everything she was saying just touched me, you know, they tell you to suck it up. Oh, he hit you. Well, suck it up. You know what I'm saying?
Hit him back.
You have shorts. Why you have shorts and you got a man? You shouldn't have been outside with your shorts. You shouldn't have looked to the left if he told you not to look to the left. You know, he bought you that jacket, so he's entitled to tell you to stay home. Why you came outside? He told you not to come outside. That's why you got your ass whooped. And, you know, and little things like that, when your surroundings and your society okays it, and they're like, no, but that's the way things are supposed to go, then you don't know wrong or right. All you know is, okay, well, I feel that is wrong, but everybody else is looking at me like you know, like it's supposed to be this way. Until you start going out of your society and bumping into people that are more knowledgeable and will come and let you know that is not right. What you were feeling all along, you know, about that this was not correct, you know, was right. But is that you're sometimes in that circle and you put yourself there. You know, you put yourself in that circle of friends and society that tells you, well, you know, you were the one that's wrong. And then you start to believe it. Oh, well, I'm wrong. I shouldn't have put makeup on. I should have put that lipstick. Why did I paint my nails? You know, oh, my God, you know, I burned his beans. Like, how can I have done that? Like, you know, and it's always the silliest things that add to the you know, the biggest moments. The silliest of things. The silliest of things. You know, and you came outside, you didn't come inside at 9:30. But I told you to be here at 9:30. But, there was light. There was an accident in the highway. I couldn't run here enough time. You didn't get here at 9:30. So it becomes like a whole, you know what I'm saying? And I still deal with it. Like I said, my last current, you know, and that's, you know, well, the street queens know a little more personal on it. But that's why it's so tough when it's a breakup, because when you announce the breakup, and that's very true, when you announce that you're leaving, that's when it comes down even worse, because then they lose that grip. You know, it's like they don't care about there's not a love factor. It's a factor that is ownership. It's ownership. You know what I'm saying? They no longer own you. They no longer could tell you what to do, and they'll find other ways to be able to manipulate you. You know, but I thank God that, in between all this, although I haven't been practicing it too well, and now I really, you know, have to really, really go for it, I've noticed that I haven't really loved myself. I haven't gave myself a chance. You know, it's always when I leave someone, then it's like, okay, I go into someone else, just forgetting about the last one, but really not healing into all that has happened. You know, I've healed physically, yeah, because you get a bruise, it goes away. But, internally and emotionally, that takes a long time, and especially when you're not really accepting to heal, you know?
You know and what, Emma? We love you. We love you, so you got.
And I love me, you know, Lizette. And I love me, you know what I'm saying. And I used to not be able to tell myself that. I think that goes into me trying to do everything for everybody else, because that kind of gave me some type of feeling that I was still alive, that I could still do things for people, that I wasn't totally dead inside emotionally or otherwise, you know. I think that's why I go the extra mile, that when I know I have kids that I can be able to take care of, I do that. Some kind of, I don't know, to let myself again know that I have emotions, you know. But those things weren't right. Those men weren't right to do that, you know. And I didn't have really children to really protect. You know what I'm saying? So it was just me. So, you know, okay, he comes, you know, I'm sorry, and you get the guilty gifts. You know, they become more and more bigger. They come from a ring to a chain. You get a car. It's like, okay, he's really sorry because he bought me a car. You know, he's really sorry because he got me some diamond rings. Oh, my God, like only somebody that's really sorry and is not willing to do it again would buy you those things. But that's not true. That's just to hold you for that meantime until that next thing happens, you know?
That's the setup.
It's a setup, and it continues. It does not ever get any better, because that's what you want to tell yourself all the time. It's going to get better. He's going to get through it. There's something he's going through. You're not going to be here for him because no one else has been there for him. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be the one. But you can't be the one. You cannot be the one to heal somebody's soul. They have to
that
soul searching on their own.
That's the point. And that's just... Go ahead. Is that Jarita?
Yeah.
Okay.
What,
What I was going to say is, on that note, I agree totally that you can't change somebody. It's just like Maya Angelou said, if someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Believe them. Oh, believe my God, that's my biggest
If he thing is an abuser, believe him. Okay, do not try to change somebody because you really cannot do that. And as women and as men, and whether you're a male, female, straight, homosexual, regardless of your ethnicity or religion, it's important for you to understand that that shame and that guilt that you're feeling, it is not your shame and it is not your guilt. It is their shame and it is their guilt because they're the ones who were so cowardice that they had to put their hands and physically abuse somebody else or emotionally abuse somebody else. You know, we talk about the differences between physical and emotional abuse, but in truth, physical abuse is less detrimental in a lot of sense in the long term because you can heal up. But that emotional abuse, those emotional scars, that is what stays and that is what lasts. And I can definitely speak from that, not only as somebody who had to deal with abuse as an adult, but also growing up and dealing with abuse from a child's standpoint and point of view as well. And having, you know, not just the emotional scars from it, but the physical repercussions and health issues because of it, you know. So it is very, very hard. And a lot of parents, you know, I definitely agree with Lady X when she was saying that you cannot keep things from kids because the reality is we know when this stuff is going on. And I was one of the kids who had that 15,000% times worse. So, you know, you can't just say, oh, it's all just me. It's never just about you. It is never just you who's taking those blows. Your kids are in those fights with you. They hear all of that that's going on. And a lot of times kids will try to jump in and help and wind up getting knocked against the wall and having their head banged and everything. You know, I remember even being choked to the point of passing out because of timetables, you know, over two timetables. So, you know, I have had some very, you know, traumatic experience growing up, even from a child's standpoint, and dealing with the emotional abuse and being financially enslaved where you cannot leave and wanting to stand in front of a mirror. Nobody will ever want you. You're not beautiful. Nobody will ever marry you or respect you, and no matter what you do, you'll never be good enough. That is a hard thing for anybody, whether it's a child or an adult, to live with. And overcome, but you have to be the stronger person, and try to rise above your circumstances because you can do it. But you have to believe in yourself and have that self love and that self discipline to say I can do this, and never mind everybody else.
Javita, sorry to interrupt you. Due to lack of time, you know, we're going to have a part two of this episode. You know, battered women, and then, you know, basically the round table of panelists will break down and tell their own personal experience in depth, and we'll continue on with more topics that we will discuss. And I want to thank Jarvita, CG, Miss Toy, Felicia Sabree, Ella E2K, Lissette, you know, Lady X, Queen Pen, Persia, and all the women of the panel, and all our wonderful guests, and all our listeners. We will have a few following this, and we would like to thank our sponsors, UndergroundGirlsOfHipHop.com, Strictly Bump One, TrunkHustlers.com. Please check out Cool V, Operation We Care, which is our brother company, OPORATION, WeCare.com. .ning.com. Check them out and support them in their movement. Queen Pen is doing an event on the 16th. Come out and support her. Support the street queens in their movement, because if we don't have your support, we can't give you awareness like we're giving you right now. And on that note, Lissette, could you wrap up the whole summary of the show? You know what I'm saying? And, you know, we can close it out.
Tonight's topic was battered women. We spoke about statistics of battered women in the U.S. We spoke about abuse within the gay community. We were talking about how to make movements in your own states, you know, have a voice in the states. We spoke about Persia from the White Rapper Show and her story and how she's dealing with a charge right now, facing 3.5 years of self-defense. With a gun charge. We have special guest Lady X giving her
her expertise and her advice and her stories. Licensed counselor, she's everything, well-rounded woman, thank you. We have spoke about Queen Penn's story and how she went through domestic violence throughout much of her relationships, her children. We talk about how she helps teenagers out deal with abuse, and she's actually an advocate for abuse. We have spoke about the differences between emotional and physical abuse, the signs that you're in a violent relationship, why women stay. We covered that and how the children are affected by this type of abuse. We spoke about the lack of money and how it affects the situation. Ms. Supersized Spanish Fly, a.k.a. Lynx Garcia of EG Radio Online, called in to share her cousin's story. Our condolences go out to you, my sister. I am so sorry to hear about and we know that your cousin has a crown in the sky for what he did. The Street Queen spoke about why abusers abuse. We spoke about Emma's story, Emma, E2K Magazine, with her personal stories and what she dealt with. And we also spoke about Jarvita and her situation, her story, and how she came about. And when Emma spoke, Jarvita was on fire, okay? We spoke about Lush's situation, the set situation. We spoke about Toy's situation, our motto, to empower and support the diverse needs of the people. Our creed, Street Queens are here to show our future leaders the way. Walking and talking, life struggle every day. Like sands of time, we are an inescapable entity, bringing light into dark places and filling the despair with hope.
And that's man, that's the set, Lissette, man. Wonderful poet doing a 1-2. Please support her in the movement. All these ladies in the panel, all of them are wonderful and powerful women. And I implore you to join us on www.streetqueenswithaz.ning.com. And you can touch faces with any one of these street queens in the panel and, you know, network with them. You know, if you have a cause, let us know. Email us at streetqueensmovement@gmail.com, and somebody will answer you. Also, an announcement, Street Queens doing out a challenge of weight loss starting January 8th, today. Winners, you know what I'm saying, that lose the most weight, you must submit a photo before and after, height, weight, age, inches, pant size, log of your daily diet, exercise routine, target goal, and how much you want to lose and how much that you hope to gain. With natural medicines and all that stuff, whatever you're using. This will be going on. I myself are starting. I started actually today. I'm doing the Beyonce, the lemonade, the Master Cleanse right now, and I haven't eaten anything. And I've stayed on the Master Cleanse, which was my food, and I have had energy, and I haven't had any craving to eat. So I implore you ladies, we want you to submit your pictures to streetqueensmovement@gmail.com. Anybody that wants to donate to our cause to help us out, and like we go on to the foster kids and everything like that, you want to send a donation, send it to P.O. Box 30126, Capitol Heights, Maryland 20731. Attention Street Queens, and we'll you know, hit you up. And also we will have a link for us for you to go and you know, give us donations, or you can give us donations in regards to, you know, whatever little bit helps. And it helps for good a cause to keep people like us, to give you and keep the people aware, women, men, you know, the whole world aware. Please support www.operationwecare.com. Support them in their movement. Support Humanity Healing. Support Mix Show Blast, which are supporters of us. Bump One, Strictly Bump One. Underground Girls of Hip Hop. Two interviews were provided by Underground Girls of Hip Hop, who are actually, you know, are part of us and as a woman supporting us. And also support www.trunkhustlers.com. Also Ruli.com, www.ruli.com. Support them in their movement, please. We need you guys to help us help you. And in turn, we work as a team. If we're not moving together, then we're not moving at all. And I love y'all guys. The Street Queens love you. And I implore you to check out our show next week, same time, same place. Thank you to all our panelists and all of our callers. I love you, Queens. And after the show, I need you guys to jump on a conference call, virtually conference call real quick. And I love all of you guys and all of the women and all of our guests. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. We love you. from Supersize, Dolises, Queenpin. We hope you feel better. Persia, we're going to try to help you out with a petition. Lady X, we will implore you to join us anytime on our conversation with your expertise. We are on you on here. Vita, Toy, all of you guys sharing your experience, especially Emma. You know what I'm saying? We love you and thank you, man. And all I say is that just support us so we can support you, man. And I got to leave off at that. Peace.
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 Peace. Peace.
I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the crevaceous slopes of California. But not only that, Let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."